This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. We are here for Bring Your Own Questions. We'll bring the answers. It's one of my favorite things we do once a month, and just blessed to be part of the Breakfast of Champions for so many years, unbelievably enough. So load up, get in line. Colleen will be hosting us. I don't have any tricky rhymes for Colleen. But she is an incredible host. And Colleen, are you here on Clubhouse or?
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you for stepping in. She's a new mom, so waking up early is nothing new for her. She's on the West Coast. Colleen, why don't you go ahead and set the room for BYOQ? Let everybody know where we're going to be, when we're going to be there.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I appreciate being here. I'm excited to host this morning. And if you hear any crying, I'll let you know. So appreciate everybody being here this morning. I have so many different ways to get in touch with Dave, so many different ways to be part of this community. We are going to be hosting BYOQ this morning. If you have any questions, please raise your hand. We'd love to bring you up to the stage to ask your question. If you want to drop it into the chat, you can do that as well. We'll be taking questions from online and live. Dave is traveling constantly. There are so many events coming up, and we want to connect as many of our community members together as possible. If you are interested in finding out where we're going to be, please either email Dave at david@dmelzer.com, or he's got a text number that I'll drop into the chat as well. But just some of the events that we've got coming up. We're going to be heading off to Orange County local next week, which is going to be amazing. Dave's doing a VIP experience, a mastermind, and a little bit of golf. We're going to be in Chicago, Toronto, back to Orange County, Phoenix, New York, LA, Nashville. The list goes on and on. And so because we travel so much, join that community number, and we will let you know exactly where we're going to be in your city, or if there's anything you want to travel to join us for, we are happy to do that. So if you're looking to ask questions today, please raise your hand or drop one into the chat. I'm going to start us off, Dave, that's okay.
Awesome. Well, let's take the first question.
Okay, great. So time is the most underutilized commodity that we have. A lot of people don't consider time when they are either working through their day or spending time with family. What is something that we should really study about time?
Well, it's interesting. First, I think we just study the time zones that are available for us. When I say time zones, the first time zone is 24 hours. I don't think people understand what studying the 24 hours means, that we are blessed every day with 24 hours a day, guaranteed, except for the last day of your life, which you'll be cheated seconds, minutes, hours. And so the first time zone is, how am I utilizing my 24 hours today? And then the second time zone is in a trajectory, a divine direction in the future. And the future is a time zone where you don't want to attach your emotions to, but it's infinite. You can go as far as you want into the future. You can think as far as you want into the future. And so we don't use that time zone correctly. A lot of people slow down the future and create resistance to the future by attaching our emotions to the future. And then the third time zone is the past. And understanding how to utilize the infinite past as a time zone, knowing one thing about the past, that the only limitation in the past is the meaning we give it. So if we can detach our emotions from the future and utilize the infinite time zone in the future and understand that we have the power to give meaning to the past aligned with where we want to be, now all we have to do is to focus in on, pay attention, and utilize the five levels of intention: do, say, think, feel, and believe in that time zone, the 24 hours, towards where we want to be or better, by giving meaning, learning light, love, and lessons from the past. And so the greatest construct of the dependent variable of all matter, subjective and objective matter, is time. But we have to utilize time in the three time zones. Lastly, Colleen, one of the things that's been an epiphany for me as I study time every day and think it's the key to productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. It's actually the key to enjoying the consistent everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of my potential, is that two of the five levels of intention exist in man-made constructive 24-hour time zone. That's what we do and say. So we have to elevate our awareness in the pragmatic world of time to what we're doing and saying, and then understanding what we think, believe, and feel are all within the infinite time zone. You could think a million years from now, 100 million years from now. You could feel infinitely about the future and the past and take control of it. And also you can believe and be able to develop and practice your belief system aligned with that. So 60% of our intentions are actually in the infinite. 40% of them are in the man-made constructive time. And, you know, it has changed my life. It's funny because we started off with what bugs me most, people being late. That's because it directly impacts my entire philosophy study of time when I am held up or void shortages and obstacles are created because other people don't respect or study time like I do. But when it comes to my family, I have to be forgiving. It's a lot easier not to be, as you know, with our executives, our management, our directors, our employees. I don't have to be quite as forgiving with that intrusion of my OCD about time. So thank you so much. Hopefully, if you want to know about the time zones, just give me an email. I'll send you over the five levels of intention, how it's directly related to being a student in your calendar, david@dmeltzer.com. Colleen, who's up next? What's up next? It's BYOQ.
Yes, thank you so much. And again, don't forget to follow the people next to you in this room. This is a fantastic community, and we want to make sure that these community members stay connected. Speaking of community members, we have Mike. I'd love to bring up Mike and unmute yourself, ask your question.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mike.
Awesome. Question here, Dave, regarding leadership. Been doing a lot of different thoughts and thinking about different ways within it, and made me think about different people within leadership itself. Question is, do you think some people are naturally born with affinity for leadership, or do you think someone can literally just be from a complete introvert, not have certain leadership capabilities, but kind of be fostered within into that role? Or is it a both thing? I'm just curious your perspective.
It's so interesting because I think it's applicable to anything, leadership, it could be applicable to basketball, cooking, whatever it is. And so what I've learned over all these years, especially about leadership, is that our skills and our knowledge of who and what determine our basement about anything, but especially about leadership. And it is our desire that will create the delta between the basement in which we could have genetically inherited, as you suggested at the first, or energetically inherited as well. So no matter what I do, my potential, my desire won't even come close to LeBron James' basement of basketball, for example. But that's not to say that in my lifetime I can't enjoy the pursuit of my potential as a basketball player, even though it's, you know, millions of feet below LeBron James' basement, let alone where his potential would be. I like to look at people and determine where they want to be or better, what trajectory, divine direction they want to work in, and then help them with the delta. Even if we identify that we're not at the highest level of skills and knowledge when it comes to the genetic and energetic inheritance that we've received, we can enjoy our journey by improving our delta in our lifetime, even though our basements are very low. Now, in certain circumstances, especially in our careers, I think it's important to be realistic in the pragmatic construct of making money, helping people and having fun. Making money is probably better off to align where your skills and knowledge are at its highest. You don't want to be in a career, an industry, a job where your basement is so low. If you have a hobby like golf or basketball or ping pong, whatever it may be, for everyone, I don't think what degree or level your basement is at really matters. But when it comes to the pragmatic world of, you know, making money, I think it's important that you're realistic in aligning your skills and knowledge with what maybe should pay you the most, since the objective of activity we get paid for is to get paid. Now, not everyone would agree to me, because I do have a philosophy of learning to love, not necessarily thinking you automatically should love what you do. I think taking the Viktor Frankl approach in Man's Search for Meaning, that when our purpose of learning to love, or learning to love things we don't like or love, or other people don't like or love, provides so many opportunities economically. And it also allows life to tell us its secrets, its cheat codes. When you learn to love what you don't like or don't love, or other people don't like or don't love, and you do it every day consistently, persistently without quit, life will tell you all its secrets and make it easy, take away the dis-easy. But be aware of where your basement is, your skills and knowledge, and then align that desire, that purpose to be greater than the pain, to get to where you want to be or better. And you will enjoy that consistent, persistent pursuit of that commitment of time that you're going to make, either in something like a hobby or an activity you get paid for. So great question, Mike. You could do that with leadership all day long. So appreciate the question. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. All right, Colleen, who's up next?
Thanks so much. I'd love here to take a question online, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, there's a lot here. So one person was asking about, do I have a sleep coach, and who is my sleep coach? And so looking at that, it's really interesting, because I think everybody should have multiple coaches, determinative upon what teams you want to prioritize your time on. And when I say that, I mean, I spend a third of my life sleeping. And so it only made sense for me to have a sleep coach. And I started having a sleep coach 17 years ago. And her name is Dr. Meeta Singh. She's a sleep coach for the Major League Baseball, was originally for the Astros when they were the first team ever to win four games on the road and win the World Series. And sleep seemed to be one of the determinant factors in their performance. But Dr. Meeta Singh has taught me so many different variables about sleep, including the unwinding routine in which I have, which is to make sure that a third of my life is spent in recovery. So I recover better than most people, if not hopefully in the top of the top. I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep, which will put me in the Hall of Fame of a third of my life, which is very, very valuable. But also to access information, to access the data streaming from my cloud, the streaming consciousness that allows me to apply the information I receive while I sleep into the next day at the highest frequency, awareness to help me be more happy and to help more people and to have more fun. And so in the aspect of having a sleep coach, I think it would behoove everyone to have a sleep coach and be able to do that as well. I think I'm frozen here on the other side of it. Can you hear me on Clubhouse at least?
We can hear you just fine.
All right. Can you hear me on the webinar? Luca, I'm going to log off of that real quick. All righty. Anyway, so why don't we take one on Clubhouse, because I got kind of kicked off on the webinar.
That'd be great. Yeah. Just as a reminder, we are here Friday morning doing BYOQ with Dave. So if you have a question, please go ahead and raise your hand and we'll bring you up. I'd love to bring the mic here to Monica. Monica, do you have a question ready? Please unmute yourself. Monica, the mute button is in the bottom right-hand corner. Okay, we'll move it over to Max. Max, can you please unmute yourself and ask your question?
Good morning, Colleen. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
My question has to do with how to establish non-negotiables. I'm able to do it for certain tasks that are interesting to me, like playing pickleball, but giving myself breaks through work are very hard to establish. I'd love any tips on how to establish non-negotiables.
Yeah, so non-negotiables are things that you're committed to doing every single day. And I want to point out that that type of commitment is counterintuitive and it's counter human nature. And so to be committed to do something 7 days a week poses great challenges to human beings. And so my philosophy is to have certain non-negotiables, which take up a minimum amount of time each day. And the reason is that non-negotiables provide us 90% of our exponentiality of success, but it would be impossible to have all these non-negotiables because it is so difficult to do so. What I do is, number one, I make sleep a non-negotiable, since that's something that's automatic and we can be professional about sleep. But more importantly, we can go and then do about 3 hours to 4 hours max in what we do. So looking at that, the 3 or 4 hours that we can put into those non-negotiables then provide us all of that. So for me, I start with sleep, then I go to a minimum of an hour a day on my health, and then family and finance and time. And I just give it a minimum amount of time each day. The thing that's interesting is the variable part of it, which is, you know, most of my time is spent in variant behavior. And so looking at what I'm doing each day, it's the variant behavior that actually provides me the wherewithal in order to have non-negotiables. And so if we can look at what we do each day in that trajectory where we want to be or better, looking at non-negotiables provides us 90% of our success or outcomes, but it's actually the 14 hours of variant behavior. So I have 17 hours of awake time, 3 hours are non-negotiables, but the 14 hours that are variant each day, that are just prioritized according to the circumstances of day, that is truly the important time that gives me the variance. It gives me the setbacks and failures, mistakes. It gives me the experiential joy that allows me to stay committed to not only my sleep, but the 3 hours of non-negotiable time with my health, my family, and my finance, studying time, relativity, whatever it may be, my faith. And so I would love to, you know, help anyone understand, because I think it's the biggest cheat code that I've learned from being consistent and persistent to go ahead and have non-negotiables in my life that have provided me this exponentiality, but understanding the importance of the variant behavior without feeling resentful or guilty that I'm not committed every single day to every single thing. I'm only just prioritizing my sleep, my family, my fitness, my faith, and my finance, to name a few. Does that sound fair, Max?
Absolutely, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right. We are back on StreamYard. I don't know what happened, but we are working our way through internet problems in Manila. But Colleen, I'm trying to see where the comments are, but if you can go ahead and have someone there as well with any...
Absolutely.
Any questions?
Yes. Yeah. And so as follow up from that last question, which is great, you have a non-negotiables worksheet. So if anybody's interested in getting a guide or a worksheet from Dave, from anything that they hear today on the training, email him at david@dmelzer.com. And then his text community number is also in the group chat. And so we'd love for you to just take a look at what we're doing, where we're going to be, in case there is anything that you'd like to join us for. I'd like to stay here on Clubhouse and have another live question. Brock, I see you just joined us. Would you like to unmute yourself and ask a question to Dave?
No. I'm currently busy, but y'all just keep talking.
All right. Thanks so much, Brock. Ron, are you available to ask your question? Thanks for joining us again.
All right.
It's Monica. I can ask. I'm sorry.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome, present Monica. When you thanks call for joining me. Us.
Okay, great. It's great to be here. I love joining this call and seeing and listening to you, David. When you said non-negotiables, I think getting clear about what those are is, it takes a lot to really get what it is that those priorities have to be. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of us have to go kind of deep, do a deep dive on that. And I noticed that it's, for me, it's kind of a struggle that I look and I go, well, am I really achieving what I said I would do? You know, so do you have some kind of accountability process also that you make sure that you're actually doing those things? Or do you have someone that you help get help
yeah. with? Yeah. Well, first of all, my mentors are always accountability partners. So that helps, especially with non-negotiables when you have a sleep coach and one of the non-negotiables being sleep. But I think the five daily practices that I have hold me accountable as well. And when I talk about those five daily practices, I'm talking about knowing each day what I want according to the circumstances that exist in the day, but also making sure that I planned in what I want, who I can help, who can help me, how, utilizing my calendar to get those non-negotiable done. I think a lot of times people just plan and hold themselves accountable, not just through mentorship, but through their calendar. When we not only put things in plan in our calendar, our non-negotiables, and make them non-negotiable, I always say, you know, it's funny because if you have kids, it's so hard to get them up in the morning, unless, of course, it's something that they want to do. And, you know, if it's going to Disneyland, they have no problem waking up at 5:30 a.m. to get to Disneyland. But for school, it might well be torture. If we treat the non-negotiables as if we're going to Disneyland at 5:30 in the morning with our kids, and say to ourselves that no matter what, I'm going to get an hour or a minimum of an hour on my health today. And no matter what, I'm going to spend a minimum of 30 minutes with my wife today, or my 13-year-old, or my three daughters, or whatever it may be. And no matter what, I'm going to study my calendar for a minimum of 10 minutes. And no matter what, I'm going to study faith for a minimum of 10 minutes. And my finance, I'm going to check all my accounts every single day to stay aware and accountable for that. So I think mentors is the number one way to stay accountable. And two, your actual calendar and the five daily practices, which are knowing your what, your who, your how, prioritizing by knowing your now and your next, and applying your why. And we apply our why by not searching for a purpose, but actually utilizing a different perspective that what am I doing to interfere with my why, not searching for the why. And if anybody would like those five daily practices, Monica, I'd be happy to send that. If anyone needs any help with mentorship, I'd be happy to help or find you one according to the team that you want to play on, whether you want to be a point guard or a six man. It's great to have mentorships and varying things that are prioritized in your life, whether it's sleep or not, it doesn't matter. There's tons of stuff that you may want to do. And the fastest way to get there is to find someone that's already there and ask them for help, or help someone get to where they want to be. Both are definite musts in getting to where you want to be. Finding someone that's already there, asking them, or finding someone that you can help get to where they want to be. And accountability in human nature is extremely important, whether it be from mentorship or your calendar. What a great question. Thanks for saving the day, Monica, with our technical difficulties. But I think I can see some questions online as well. So we will keep on moving. Why don't we reset the room, Colleen? I know it's a little disjointed here from Manila, but I appreciate everyone's patience.
That would be great. Yeah, coming up on halftime here, and we've got a few people waiting in the wings to ask their questions, Dave. Again, this is BYOQ. If you have a question, please raise your hand or drop it in the chat. We'd be happy to get it answered. If you'd like to get in touch with Dave and find out about all the events we have coming up, please email him at david@dmelzer.com. And his text community number is in the group chat as well. Speaking of great community members, Monica, we love having you in our community. You've been a part of us for a long time. And I'd love to invite Chima up for the next question. Chima, please unmute yourself.
Hi. Yes. I had a quick question. Well, I did have, but I think it's been answered. It's about the non-negotiables worksheet. I'd love to get that, David. That'd be fantastic. I wanted to apologize because I mentioned in the earlier session that this month has been very difficult because my daughter's getting married. So I have a lot of commitments that have been unfolding and taking away my time because I registered for the coaching towards the collaboration that we discussed to try and move the project that we're doing forward. And I haven't done anything. So I am so sorry, David. Apologize specifically. But once this wedding's done, I will get on track and I'll be on your case with everything that I agreed to do beforehand. So sorry about that. But I'd love to get the non-negotiables worksheet. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. And never apologize. One of the things that I've learned is instead of saying, hey, sorry for being late, sorry for this, sorry for that, just say thank you for your patience or thank you for your understanding or thank you for whatever it is that you're thankful for. It has such a greater energy and enlightenment and awareness that when we make an agreement, when we make a commitment, even in the non-negotiable side, when we make a commitment, three things change and we don't take it into consideration through gratitude and forgiveness, then we're going to always be creating this void, these shortages, different obstacles. And so it's really important as we go through our journey and understand human nature and self, that we are living in gratitude and forgiveness when it comes to what changes immediately when we make a commitment or an agreement or make a decision. Time is going to change, obviously. Emotion is going to change and value is going to change. And so as we make commitments or make decisions or come to an agreement, verbal, written, implied, even with consideration, meaning some sort of payment, no matter what, if we go into these types of circumstances where we make commitments, decisions, and agreements, knowing that time, emotion, and value are changing, then we can create our own go-no-go plan or go-no-go plans with other people in order to facilitate utilizing either a 3-no rule that we give it a try for 3 times, and it's obviously not the right time if we can't get it done with 3 different tries. And so it's just a matter of time until that may or may not occur. And so when you learn the coordination between the go-no-go plan and the 3-no rule, that can help facilitate taking advantage of this huge total addressable community of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. When you see the advantages of elevating our awareness to a reality that time, emotion, and value changes after every decision, agreement, and commitment that we make, and we plan accordingly. And by the way, once again, I know you want the non-negotiable exercise. We do have a go-no-go template and the 3-no rule exercise, which are complementary of one another, which allows 2 different things to happen. If you start creating go-no-go plans, understanding commitments, decisions, and agreements change the minute you make them via time, emotion, and value, then you'll see how to coordinate within that context, a go-no-go plan and the 3-no rule that do these 2 things, which is 1, accelerate the agreement, decision, or commitment, or it actually allows it to dissipate and dissolve when it's not applicable anymore. So we're not wasting our time with resentment and guilt or following something that because of the actual circumstances that exist today, because time, value, and emotion has changed, that we're chasing something that's not going to happen. This is especially true in sales, but it's also true in personal commitments, decisions, and agreements that we've made and allowing and utilizing the go-no plan with the 3-no rule for ourselves so that we can go ahead and pursue the greatest realities of today by changing the meaning of the past, the lessons of the past, in alignment with where we want to be or better. So very powerful exercises. So if you'd like that, Chima, as well, I think it'd be helpful for you to have the go-no-go plan and 3-no rule as well as the non-negotiables. Does that sound fair?
Yes, please. That sounds really fair. Great. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much. All right, Colleen, we're rocking and rolling. I can take questions online again as people are starting to comment, and I'm back on using a different device. I do not know what
that would be great. I wanted to add one note, Dave, because I forgot to mention this, and someone in the chat mentioned it. If you'd like David's book, he sent it out for free, cover shipping. We ship free anywhere in the United States. Email David at dmelter.com, and we will get you a book as well. So, Dave, if you want to take a question online, great, and then we'll head over to Ron.
Yeah, perfect. And thank you so much. The question is about time again, which is interesting, and how humility actually works within the context of time. And I have one of my favorite quotes that I learned when I was in Atlanta at one of our VIP dinners, which is, you're either humble or you're about to be. And that really set me forth into understanding humility in time. Most people get caught during the day, every single day, thinking that they know what they don't know. Which is where that quote comes from. You're either humble or you're about to be. And if we use our time humbly, that we don't know what we don't know, that we're just doing our best, learning lessons and having fun. If you can take a step back, as much as you have planned the negotiables and non-negotiables and sleep in your day, and have the humility that the reason I do the non-negotiables and the reason I do the negotiables and the reason I do the sleep intentions is because of humility, that I don't know what I don't know. So taking into consideration humility is why I want to use time in a trajectory, in a direction, in a divine time of where I think I want to be or better. And so there's no certainty in anything that I do. There is certainty when I do my best, when I learn lessons and have fun. And the certainty is that's the best perspective that I can have through humility. But I am, as I have built this ferocious Buddha brand, I'm ferocious with my time doing my best. But I'm Buddhist and learning the lessons and having fun and detaching my emotions from the infinite future time zone and changing the meaning of my past to align with where I want to be or better, or where I think I want to be or better. And so if you feel frustrated and resentful and anxious and worried, try humility. Because when we are humble, and if we're not humble, you're about to be, but when we are humble, we have so much ease in our lives to where we want to be or better. And I always catch myself and have to stop, drop, and roll when I find myself, especially with business people or my family, proliferating some sort of suggestion as certainty. And I can only put forth suggestions to give a different or an alternative opinion or perspective to help people facilitate their own humility and their own way of doing things as well. So you're either humble or you're about to be, and time is definitely integrated and reconciled within the context of humility, in the context of wanting to be somewhere or thinking you want to be somewhere or better, and not knowing what you don't know will be a constant common denominator within the context of time. All right, Colleen, that was a lot of alliteration for a Friday morning, but we are always finishing strong. And so I want to also let everybody know where we're going to be, because we are going to be in 200 different cities. I'm in Manila today. We'll be in Tokyo the next few days, and then back to Orange County, and then off to Chicago, then Toronto, then back to Los Angeles and Orange County, and then out to New York as well. So if you're in any of those cities, we're going to be doing meetups, holding court, VIP dinners, speeches, and whatever else we're doing, I forget. But just join our text community so you know where we're going to be. Oh, we're going to be at Propelify as well, and a VIP dinner there finishing up in New York. But please join us. Oh, masterminds. We're going to be doing those as well with the speeches. So give us a ring, david@dmeltzer.com. Email, text me, 949-298-2905. Awesome. And I forget who you said's coming up next, Colleen.
We're going to be bringing up Ron, who we'll be seeing here in a couple of weeks in New York.
Awesome. Hey, Ron.
Coach, I miss you, buddy.
I know. This is the longest it's been since I talked to you. We're like two ships passing in the Manila night.
The thriller in Manila. No, it's okay. I understand. I can't wait for our one-on-one. But, you know, my question to you today is, because I know how busy everything is and other people want to get on, I'm going to go right back into, my relationship here with Maurizio. And so the app, Coach, we have hit 32,000 subscribers just on the East Coast. We are just going gangbusters. And I know I talked to you about the business model. So Maurizio, we kind of changed a couple things. And my question to you is, you invited me to just a couple of those investor meetings to sit in and listen. And I think I've learned a lot. But as investors, what else do we have to get in order to look, not just look, but be ready for the investors? We just hired three people to take tasks on that I'm doing. So now I'm going to start traveling with Maurizio. As you know, I was just in Atlanta with him and shooting some videos. And we hired a marketing team here in the United States. We also have one in Pakistan that's taking care of the app. And I know Maurizio knows these answers, but I'm trying to be proactive. And when I sit in these things with him, I understand more. And I'm sure, is there some kind of a template that you have or any ideas or things you can share with me that we look like, hey, you know what, we're serious and this thing is really taking off?
Yeah, let me help you out real quick, because there's a few things that I can send to everyone that's interested in raising money or having the correct representation of valuation of their new business, old business, etc. The number one thing that people look at are the people. The number two thing that they look at is either revenue or potential revenue. And within that context, you want to intertwine the credibility of the people and the revenue and the potential revenue, the emotional attachment that is aligned with the people and the revenue and the potential revenue. Then also a quantitative reason that somebody would want to make that investment that you can articulate. And then as well, the fourth thing is impact. I know with the cooking app, there's a tremendous amount of impact, which goes within the wellness and health space. It goes within empowering our incredible grandmas out there that cook and people that love to cook in order to facilitate bringing joy as well as making money and having fun and helping people. And then the fifth thing is to really understand the capabilities of your cooking app as you have, just so quickly gotten to 32,000 subscribers. I love the business. I love the idea. I love the people. And the only missing component to me is, can you articulate in a quantitative value that revenue or potential revenue with the capabilities of the app itself? Because there's a million great ideas out there. But in order to win in business, you need to make money. And so those people that are articulating that value to exceed what they're asking for are the ones that are succeeding in raising money. And so I'd love to get you those five things from credibility, emotional attachment, reasons, impacts, and how to utilize capability as an arsenal, not a feature and benefit dump. And then I have a business plan template that I can send everyone. All of these things, of course, are free, just like my book's free, the Go No Go Plan, the 3 No Rule, all the exercises, guides, books, everything is Friday training. for almost 25 years. It's all free. Just email me, david@dmelzer.com. It's so funny too, Ron, because you're someone that has moved along the spectrum of understanding of what it takes to invest in ourselves. And I was saying, if you're not going to invest in yourself, what are you ever going to invest in? 90%, as you know, Ron, of what I do is free. And yet some people, they're disturbed, you know, when they have to, you know, pay for a $500 dinner with us when we bring in, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of speakers and have over the top open bar festivities, or people that want, you know, intimacy or proximity to me, whether it be in a group setting or one-on-one or business advisory. And I just want to suggest to people that in your own business, in what you do, the more that you can do for free, the better. But you also have to make money, and intimacy and proximity is where you should make it when people want more access or more understanding in a personal way. But the majority of what we do, there is another nuance to it too, Ron, is that we should guarantee our success. And there's very few people that do this, especially in social media. You know, there's a lot of people, those 19-year-old life coaches out there promising things, standing in front of houses they don't own and cars they don't own. But I think it's really important to put your own credibility on the line by guaranteeing what you do. And I have coached and trained people on how to make sure that they mitigate all risk for those people that are investing in themselves in case they make a bad decision or time, emotion, or value changes, to make sure that they've secured the people that they're trying to help. Is probably the most difficult thing for people to understand in raising money, making money, running a business, is it is a business. They won't call it a business unless you make money. It doesn't mean you can't help people and have fun along the way. Doesn't mean you can't give away the majority of what you do for free. But in order for you to afford to do that, you got to make money. And I love the fact that you have 32,000 subscribers, but let's take that credibility, emotional attachment, reasons, impacts, and capabilities, and really empower you with the correct business plan, with these exercises in order to facilitate you quantitatively articulating that by utilizing your capabilities as an arsenal and making more money, helping more people for free and having more fun. Cannot wait to work with you one-on-one coming up here soon. And I'm so proud of you, man. Congratulations, and keep up the great work. Let everyone know where they can find the app just while you're here. That'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Chef. Yes. Just go to cookingchefs.com, C-O-O-K-I-N, cookingchefs.com, and you can download it on your Apple or your Android device. And I can't thank you enough, Coach. I just want to say one thing that, you know, besides the group that I do, now the one-on-one, and now investing in myself going into these dinners, this is a well-rounded thing that you're just turning me into. A really super entrepreneur. Over last weekend when I was in Atlanta with Mauricio, we had dinner with Peter, and he even said to me, he goes, from the last time I met him in New York, he's like, Dave must be really working on you. I see a difference. And he's like, you know, just the way you speak and carry yourself, he said, I seem a little bit more confident. So I can't thank you enough, Dave, for taking the time with me. And I look forward to our one-on-one soon.
That's awesome. One real last thing, though, too, is as much as you're building a business with Mauricio, and it's an amazing app with 32,000 people so quickly, but also you do most of what you do for free. And can you tell everyone real quick about Groceries for Grandparents?
Yes. Thank you for that opportunity. Yeah. So groceriesforgrandparentsfund.org, groceriesforgrandparentsfund.org is our nonprofit. And that helps seniors, veterans, people with disabilities, also church pantries, basically anybody in need of a meal in southern New Jersey, Philadelphia. And now, Coach, we're now in New York. We have a contact at Hunts Point with a produce company that's donating food. And we will put together a food package, a grocery package for anybody, no questions asked. And that's called Groceries for Grandparents Fund. Thank you so much, Dave.
Oh man, just I appreciate everything you've done, and there's nothing, as you know, that makes you happier or prouder than other people's success, especially when your mission is to empower over a billion people to be happy by empowering others, to empower others, to empower others. And that's what you and Mauricio are both doing, as many other community members. Here on the webinar, we have over 100,000 people registered. We're coming on 25 years of doing free Friday trainings. Been doing it over 24 years. October will mark our quarter of a century anniversary of free Friday trainings. We have not missed a week. They haven't all been on Friday, as you'll find out through the travels. We do some on Wednesday and Thursday. We are on Breakfast of Champions every Friday at 6 a.m. These free Friday trainings have happened every single week. We've made a commitment to consistent behavior, getting exponential results with over 100,000 people registered here on the webinar. And on every other platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, I already said it. All right, now we're getting a little bit late here in Manila. I'm repeating myself. All right, anyway, thank you, Ron. I'm going to let
get into
the fourth quarter. I'm going to let Colleen go ahead and reset the room.
Yes, thanks so much. And I actually have a follow-up question for after we reset the room here, because there's so many great entrepreneurs in this room. Okay. David Meltzer's clubhouse room here, Friday training. We're streaming on all platforms. If you're interested in getting in touch with Dave, please email him, david@dmeltzer. We can send you any of the worksheets or guides that you've heard about here today. We'd be happy to send you his upcoming travel. We'd be happy to send you his book. So Dave, my question is, and then we'll bring up Serafina. I think a lot of people, that credibility aspect for startups, how do you identify the lowest hanging fruit in order to build your own credibility in your business?
Yeah, I mean, your own credibility, you can't find outside of yourself and what you can't find inside of you. And so just like perceived value, credibility is determined by your confidence and comfort level in articulating your capabilities personally. And so there's a perception, which is called credibility, an individual perception that is facilitated by an entrepreneur or partners or investors. And that comfort level and confidence is what determines that perception. I always say that we need to know our perceived value and our bottom line. But when it comes to credibility, we also need to know our perceived value and also our bottom line in the respect of our skills and our knowledge and our own capabilities. And so if we are not practicing in what we do, that preparation is what creates the confidence and the comfortable ability of articulating who we are with credibility. And I go through with a fine-tooth comb my credibility in what we do, because one, I'm genetically and energetically inherited bullshit and bullshitters. But more importantly, most of us have really good intentions. And a lot of times we have not practiced enough. And so we don't have the clarity in what we're communicating. And we don't even realize that unintentionally we have oversold, back-end sold, sometimes misspoke the truth. All types of things happen unintentionally when we're not prepared. And so when we're talking, quote unquote, out of our ass, a lot of things happen to lose credibility. So I always make sure that I coach people on being well prepared to have the comfort level and confidence in order to articulate the perceived value of credibility. Because the minute we even unintentionally misspeak or unintentionally utilize numbers in the wrong way or whatever other things that can happen, even if it's unintentional, the minute we lose our credibility, now instead of people looking to help us, they're looking to expose us. And so it's really important to understand how important credibility is. Think about it. If you're 100% credible, everybody will do what you say. Now, that's pretty much an impossibility to be 100% credible. But if you were 100% credible, if I was 100% credible, I could tell everyone right now, hey, wire me $1 million by the end of the month. I'll wire you back $2 million, and everybody that could find the money would find it. And so I think it's really important to understand the power of credibility, but also the nuances of perceived value within the context of credibility, to be able to be comfortable and confident in articulating what we say, how we say it, to who we say it. Great question. All right, Colleen, let's bring up Serafina.
Thanks so much. Serafina, please unmute yourself.
Hello, everyone. Hi, David. Hope you're living it up in Manila and getting ready to go to Tokyo. So a question that I've just been kind of asking myself, and one that I wanted to ask you, is what is it that fulfills you the most with your energy, and what is something that drains you the most, and how has this evolved over time for you?
That's awesome. Well, number one, utilizing time in a productive, accessible, and gracious way fulfills me the most, because I know my sleep is aligned. I know my non-negotiables, that I'm on top of my health and my family, my faith, my finances. If I'm on top of my time, that fulfills me the most, because it is holistically making sure that I am aligned and productive, accessible, and gracious in my life, in a divine direction, in divine time. That which drains me the most is the ego-based consciousness, which I call the reaction to fear. Fear itself is so hard to determine, whether it's from this current lifetime, past lifetimes, genetics, energetics, but fear itself is so hard to determine that I've cheated the system by realizing what really drains me most is that which interferes with where I want to be or better, or where I think I want to be or better. And so my behaviors, I define as good behavior, is behavior that is aligned with where I think I want to be or better, and bad behavior is behaviors that interfere with it. And so what drains me the most is the reaction to fear, which is a behavior that is interfering most with where I think I want to be or better. Sorry, people can't hear me quite as well. Apologize. So if you can determine via clues of how you react to fear. So I know, for example, we talked about the need to be offended when we started this, you know, what offended me most, people being late, but it's anything that separates us, and need to be anxious, frustrated, worried, angry, guilty, resentful, inferior, superior, separate, whatever it may be, and start seeing the patterns that we can get more efficient at shortening the distance of resistance in our life. That's shortening the amount of time that we spend interfering with our better selves, our higher selves, and our potential. And so looking at that as draining, I am simplifying a framework of, you know, how and when I'm productive, accessible, and gracious with time is most fulfilling, because it handles holistically all of what I want or better each day in a divine direction and divine time. And what drains me the most is the patterns of interference, which is my reaction to fear. And the advantage of, instead of trying to determine what I'm afraid of, instead looking at how I react to fear, is that our reaction to fear, unlike fear, is instant and obvious. And so it is a much more simple approach to understanding what drains us, what bleeds us. And so looking at how the patterns that I have in reacting to fear are interfering with my divine direction and divine time is indicative of what bleeds me most. And hopefully we'll shorten that distance of resistance for everyone and spend minutes and moments in the reaction to fear by practicing that as well. All right, we got 5 minutes left, Colleen. I think we have time for one more question.
That'd be great. If you want to go take that online, we can finish up the room.
All right. Well, you're making it challenging for me, but we'll get this here. So people are having trouble hearing me. Hold on one second. I love being on the road. So thank you so much. people want to know where to get guides, david@dmeltzer.com. They want to know the schedule we went through. If you're in any of these cities, come reach out to us. All right, here we go. Reading a book called Hidden Peace about living with humility. How important is peace? Well, it's very important. Hold on. If I want to pitch for the 2-minute drill, are you going to run it again? Yes, 2-minute drill. Sorry. We are doing 2-minute drill in July and August in Orange County at some point to get advice, especially since he's in the sports industry. Yeah, just reach out to us if you'd like to be on 2-minute drill. Office Hours is airing right now, streaming on Apple as well. July 19th is the date for YouTube Theater with Dane Cook, Rob Riggle, myself, Marshall Falk, Baron Davis et al. And hold on, keep on moving through here. All right. Oh, here's a good one. Just what book has had the most impact in my life? Well, there's been several books. Currently, though, I'm a huge Walter Isaacson fan. So all the books that he's written, from Innovators to Einstein to Musk to Jobs, all of them have a historical perspective. And why they're important, these books, is because they have a historical analysis of not only what happened, but what the thought process are, because Walter Isaacson interviews or takes notes from everybody's differing perceptions of what's going on. And, you know, human nature never changes. So studying history is important as well. But the real takeaway of what I have from Walter Isaacson's books, and I'd love to get him on my podcast. If anybody out there is relative to him, we'd love to get him on, because I'd love to ask him some of these questions. But it really is aligned with appreciating our differences. And so many of us, we had someone talking about diversity, equity, inclusion, and those are three differing things. And the one that's most powerful for me is inclusion, because inclusion not only looks to see how we're the same, but it is a necessity to appreciate the difference, to add value to the differences. And our differences are obvious. First of all, the differences of just being here, 1 in a trillion chance of just being here. But even more importantly, when we get here, we're 1 in 8 billion. There's nobody like us. So, you know, if you want to be the same, well, let's start by realizing the only thing that really makes us the same is we're all different. You are a individual, a fingerprint on the earth. And if we don't learn to appreciate our differences, we're never going to have diversity or equity, and we definitely are not going to be inclusive of one another. We are an abundant, infinite, unified system together. We are one, and we should start to put as a priority the appreciation of differences in order to create diversity and inclusion and equity. And so if everybody can start to shift that perspective in unity to help one another and know people that can help one another, so that we're all buying from each other and selling for each other, I promise you abundance is along the way. You will be giving more, given more, receive more, and be able to ask for more. You will live in an infinite loop of more than enough of everything for everyone. All right, Colleen, we made it from Manila. Was not as smooth, silky smooth as always, but we've had a lot of changes. I want to send my prayers to the nick of time. Hope he feels better. We broke Nick on this trip, which I thought was impossible, but hopefully he'll be feeling better. Let's all send our prayers for Nick. I want to thank Colleen for doing an exceptional job with all the technical difficulties and last minute scheduling. Everyone reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com, or join our text. Colleen, if you could just review where we're going to be, how they can find us, what we're doing, and then hand it off and close out the room, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.